Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Vav. We're supposed to be finishing the third parak of Zvachim. No promises that we will, but that certainly is our goal. We are on Lamed Hey Amad Aleph, and let's just quickly run through the Mishnah again, and we'll start with the ensuing discussion in the Gemara. The Mishnah, again, I'm going to go through the Mishnah quickly because it's really review from what we saw yesterday. We did the Mishnah yesterday. This Mishnah is talking about Pigel. This Mishnah and the next Mishnah really is going to be focusing on Pigel. And by Pigel, you have to think about a consumer, but you have to think about the right consumer. Meaning you are entitled to eat the meat of certain karbanos. The Mizbeach is entitled, as a mitzvah, to eat certain imurim of the karban. And in order for it to be pigel, you have to think about the right food for the right consumer. So let's say that you, while you're shechting, you're saying, I'm going to eat the imurim, I'm going to eat the diaphragm. Diaphragm is not entitled to you. You're not allowed to eat the diaphragm. Diaphragm of the animal has to go up onto the Mizbeach. So that's not pigel because you're not entitled to eat that part of the animal. Or lahakter davashein dark lahakter. Let's say it's a shlamim, and I say I'm going to offer the meat on the mizbeach. That's by a shlamim. Again, that's not appropriate. That's not the right designation. That's not the right consumer. So kosher. So it's going to be kosher, meaning it's not going to be pigel because in order for it to be pigel, you have to think about the right consumer. Rabbi Lazar posel, and Rabbi Lazar says no, it's going to be disqualified, meaning it's going to be pigel. Rabbi Lazar is okay with confusing consumers. He says the consumers are interchangeable, even though it's by right I'm not allowed to eat the imurim, but for Rebbe Elazar it still validates it as pigel. Next point in the Mishnah has to be a kezias. I have to think, in order to trigger pigel, I have to think about how I'm going to eat a kezias. I mean, it has to be a substantial amount. And whenever we say the word substantial, we mean in halacha a kezias, the volume of a kezias, the volume of an olive. Le'echol kechasi zayis, le'haktir kechasi zayis, kasher shein achil haktar mitztarfin. One half of your food and one half of the Mizbeach's food does not equal a full kezias of food. That doesn't work that way. Hashochet es zevach lochol kezias mina or mina rotev mina kipa mina alal mina atzamos mina gidim o mina karnayim o mina talafim chutzus mana chutzim kama kosher. If I think about it, when I shech that I'm going to eat a kezias of hide, juice, kipa, I told you, when you take the meat out of the pot, all that nice stuff on the bottom of the pot, you know, the stuff you dip your challah into. So that is what the Mishnah Kol refers to as kipa. Alal, I mentioned yesterday, is much of a debate in terms of what alal is. Rashi says we're talking about some tendons running up the neck of the animal. Min atzamos, min agidim, bones and sinews and karnayim and horns and talafim and hooves. These are not foods. These are not meat of the animal. And so therefore, chutzus mana, chutzum kama kasher. It will not trigger pigel. Pigel will only be triggered if you think about eating meat of the animal. You have to eat the meat of the animal. And you're not going to be chayav for the big three. Pigel, noser, and tame. Pigel, what we've been discussing now for this parak. No, sir, if the meat was left over and I eat the meat that was left over, which normally incurs a kares punishment, but if it's any of these parts of the animal that we just described, you're not going to be in violation of Nosar. Same thing is true regarding Tame. If you're Tame and you eat Kodesh and you eat Karban, again, normally that is a Kari's punishable activity. But if you're eating not the meat, but any of the aforementioned parts of the animal, you're not going to be Chayev. Hashochet is a Mugdashan Lechosh Lilo Shaya B'chutz Lo Pigel. If you shech the karban in order to eat either the fetus or the afterbirth, b'chutz lo pigel, that's not pigel. Meaning that if you think about when you shech it, in other words, it's a pregnant animal, and you think, I'm going to eat the fetus outside of its prescribed time, that's not going to trigger pigel. Okay? Why not? So the simple pshat would be because the, I don't know if it's a simple pshat, but we will say that the fetus is not considered part of the animal, meaning fetus and mother are two separate entities. The Gemara's terminology when describing this is uber lav yerech imo. The fetus is not part of the mother. So we could explain it that way. Hamolik is a term la'echo beitzeim b'chutz l'pigel. If I do malika on the bird in order to eat the eggs outside of its either time or place, lo pigel, is not incurred pigel because the egg is not an intrinsic part of the bird. chalev and muktashim beitzei term ein chayev l'nishim pigel nos v'tamei, and milk of any carbon or eggs of birds which are a carbon. So you're not going to be chayev on them for pigel nos and tamei. Period. Okay, that is the Mishnah. The basic point of the Mishnah, in other words, if we can make a summary statement of the Mishnah, is that in order for it to be pigol, I have to think when I do any one of the essential avodas about how I'm going to consume the meat of the animal. It has to be meat of the animal, not various parts of the animal which are quasi-edible, or, you know, if there's no meat left, maybe I'd pick on it. It has to be the essential meat of the animal in order for it to be pigol. Amar Rebbe Elazar. The first sugi we're going to do in the Gemara is going to be a chiddush made by Rebbe Elazar. Pigel b'zevach nispagel hashlil. Okay. We talked about the fetus and we talked about the afterbirth. So, pigel b'zevach nispagel hashlil. If I am thinking about how I'm going to eat the mother, the meat of the mother, chusuzmano, so, as we discussed before, pigel is interesting. All you have to do is just think about part of the animal, and the whole animal becomes now prohibited through this prohibition called pigel. If I think about how I'm going to eat a kezias of the mother, chosazmano, it affects the entire animal, including the fetus. Including the fetus.
The fetus is separate?
Oh, okay. That's more than a good point. I'll come back to your point in just a moment. B'shalil lo nispagel hazevach, but it doesn't work the other way. This is a chiddush of Rebbe Elazar, meaning that if I think about how I'm going to eat the fetus chutz lizmano, outside its prescribed time, it's not going to trigger pigel because the fetus is not essential enough. It's not important enough. It's not chashuv enough where it's going to actually trigger off pigel. So the chiddush of Rebbe Elazar, everyone understand? It's a big chiddush, meaning that how are we going to view the fetus? Whether it is a limb of the mother, not a limb of the mother, right? Not 100% sure, but we're going to say it like this. We're going to instead of using that terminology, which I'll come back to in just a moment, but we're going to just simply say it like this: the fetus is significant enough that it comes along for the ride, but it can't trigger. It comes along for the ride, meaning that if I affect the mother and I mefagel the mother, the fetus becomes mitpagel. It becomes a cheftza, it becomes an object to pigel. However, it's not significant enough where it itself can trigger pigel. So if I think about the fetus, eating the fetus, chutzuzmano, chutzum kamo, let's just talk about chutzuzmano, it does not affect the remaining, it doesn't affect any part of the animal. This, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi does touch on the issue of whether or not, how is Rebbe Elazar viewing the fetus? Rashi, the 1, 2, 3, fourth Rashi in the Gemara. It's above where we are. Lonis Bagla Zevach, Rashi writes, Kasav Rebbe Elazar, Shlil Gufe Dezivcha Havyai. The Uber Yerech Imahu. So Rashi says, here's how Rebbe Elazar views the fetus. It's part of the mother. It's a limb of the mother. As I mentioned before, this is a major debate throughout all the Gemaras, whether or not, how we view the limb. Is it considered, how we view the fetus, whether or not it's considered a limb of its mother. So Rashi tells us that according to Rebbe Elazar, he does view it as a limb. Umiyu. So now, right, this is the part where you like require like extra thinking. Right, this is like the real thinking part of today's daf. So if the fetus is a limb of the animal, so then it should be no different than an arm of the animal, of a leg of the animal. I know, same thing. It's a limb. It's a limb of the animal. Umihu ein machshavasto. I'm reading Rashi. Ein machshavasto mefagel sazevach de davar shein darko lechol hu de rube de inche lo achli le. So Rashi writes, so it should trigger pigel, meaning it's meat. So Rashi says no, because it's not significant. People don't normally eat fetus. It's not a delicacy. It's not something that's normally eaten. I think we can all agree it's disgusting, but I guess it depends on how you feel about eating meat in general. Some people even think eating meat is disgusting. So, right, I guess it goes there. Whatever, however you want to say it, it's not normally consumed, says Rashi. Good. So now we have a good picture of a really disgusting disgusting animal. We have a good picture of what's going on. Right? So let's put this together. Let me see if I can organize this information. The way Rashi explains it, fetus is a limb of the animal. It's uber yerechimohu. It's just another limb of the animal. Right, while it's inside, while it's internal. Obviously, once it's detached, it becomes its own independent entity, obviously. But it's part of the mother. Uber yerechimohu. Okay, now that means then that if I consider any part of the animal being pigle, so the fetus, of course, is going to come along for the ride. Meaning all the animal is going to become pigle, including the fetus. However, this is a chiddush of Rebbe Elazar. If I'm only thinking about how I'm going to eat the fetus chutzes mano, it's not going to trigger pigle. And Rashi explains the reason why is because a fetus is not a davar chashav. It's not normally eaten. It's not normally consumed. I guess we can put it in the category of all the things that we mentioned up above in the Mishnah. The kippah, the rotev, the alal, all those tangential parts of the animal which are not normally eaten. It's not chashav enough. It's just not significant enough and therefore not subject to pigle, to affect pigle. And the same thing is true regarding the fetus. Other examples of Rebbe Elazar's principle. Okay, pigel b'zevach nispagal ashlil, b'shlil nispagal azevach. Another example, pigel ba'alal. Alal over here, Rashi writes, we are not talking like we were in the Mishnah about the tendons of an animal. We're talking about the alal of a bird. Gizzard? I don't know. Huh? No. Part of the not the crop. The crop is the next thing being mentioned. I don't know. Anyway, pigel ba'alal nispagla mur'ah b'mur'ah nispagla alal. Okay, same relationship when it comes to the crop. The crop of the bird, that's the, it's kind of like the digestive pouch that the bird has. Right? You ever see the bird picking up stones with its beak? Right? It's because it's sending. I learned this recently. That's because it's sending the stones into its crop, and so that it digests. Birds don't have teeth. Birds don't chew. How do birds mash up the food? So they basically take stones and they have the stones grind up the food inside the crop. The crop is not a significant part of the bird. It's not something that's normally eaten. So it's the same vort. It's going to be the same basic idea. That according to Rebbe Elazar, the crop comes along for the ride, but it's not significant where if you only think about, oh, I can't wait till I eat the crop of the bird. Three days from now after I shecht it, it won't affect pigle. Another example. Pigle b'imorim nispaglu parim, but parim nispaglu imorim. Last example of Rebbe Elazar. Here we're talking about unique karbanos. This is the chatas hanisrafim. The parim hanisrafim, the cows that are burned outside the base of Mikdash. By par halam davar shel tzibur, by the par kohen gadol, which we discussed back in Masechta Horios. So we talked about how with these karbanos, here's what you do. Shecht it, blood is sprinkled, not on the outer mizbeach, on the inner mizbeach, and then the meat of the imurim of the animal are hoisted up onto the mizbeach and burned on the mizbeach, and the meat of a chatas, which normally is eaten by kohanim, this meat is taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash and burnt in the Beis HaDeshen. Okay? Somewhere out in the Har Abayis. Good. This karbon. So, it's subject to the rules of pigle. Why not? So, pigle b'imurim nispaglu parim. So, if I mefagel the imurim are the parts of the karbon chatzas that go up onto the Mizbeach, so the rest of the animal comes along for the ride. Even the meat of this chatas. Now, keep in mind, that's a big chiddush, because the meat of this chatas is burnt outside. It's not eaten. It's not normally consumed. But the parim nispaglu imurim. However, even though the meat of the parim nisrafim can come along for the ride, it can't affect pigle, because it's same vort, because it's not normally eaten. In this case, it's never eaten. Good. Three examples that Rebbe Elazar gave, but the idea is one basic idea. If it's meat that's not normally eaten, it can come along for the ride and become mispagel, but it can't trigger pigle. Okay? And he gave three examples to this that speaks to this idea. Lema misayele. So for the next half of Amud of Gemara, what the Gemara will do is going to question, challenge, and ultimately support Rabbi Elazar. So let's start off like this. Lema misayale. So let's say the following is going to be a support for Rabbi Elazar. The Mishnah, much later on in Zvachim, in the Kuf area, oh boy, much later on talks about a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim regarding the Parim HaNesrafim. Without getting involved, the Vishavim, they both agree, Shimchisha Bachilas Parim of Vistrefasam, Loasav Loklum, that if you have a machshava regarding the animal, there's no machshava. It doesn't affect it at all. So my love, now what is it talking about? What's the case that's going on over here? My love, Hachisha Bimorim, it's Pagu Parim. The Gemara is assuming that your mechashev, that your machshava went on the imorim, and the point is that the animal itself doesn't become pigle, which would be a rejection of Rebbe Lazar. So, sorry, let me say it better. I'm sorry, no, this is coming to support Rebbe Lazar. I'm sorry, let me do that again. Hachisha b'imorim nispaglu parim, right. That if you have a machshava of the imorim, the cow actually does, the meat of the animal does become pigle. So the Gemara says, lo. Hachisha b'imorim nispaglu imorim atzman. No, the point is that you can have a machshava on the imorim, and what's subject to pigle? The imorim. The imorim are subject to pigle, but not the meat of the animal. The meat of the animal is never consumed. Tashma. Again, we want to support Rebbe Lazar. Parmas or attack him. Either way. In this case, we're going to attack him. Tashma, come in here. Parmas Nisrafim, Misir Nisrafim. Mo'alam Bahen Mishahuktashu. It is subject to Mi'ila. Mi'ila means misappropriation. Isser in the Torah, once you have a carbon desecrated, set aside. So now it's subject to the prohibition of Mi'ila. If you're Mo'al, if you misappropriate, use the animal for your own benefit, so you violate the Isra of Mi'ila. If done intentionally, it's Misa B'Dei Shamayim. If done unintentionally, so you have to make full restitution, you have to bring a carbon. Okay, the Isra of Mi'ila. Misha Huktashu, from the point that you designate it as a carbon, now it's subject to Mi'ila. Nishchetu, once you shecht it, so now it's no longer alive, it's dead obviously. Now it's subject to all those things that a carbon shechted is subject to. Becoming tamei, if touched by either a tful yom or chusik kippurim. Left overnight, subject to lina. So my love, lina's baser. So the Gemara says, now when we're talking about lina, remember, we're talking about the animals that are burnt. Parma nisrafim. And we're talking about lina, leaving it over. Leaving what over? So the Gemara says, maybe we're talking about leaving over the meat. And the Gemara says, look, if leaving over the meat renders the animal disqualified, thinking about leaving over the meat, what we call pigol, also is subject to disqualify it. And the Gemara says, oh, I'm sorry, and this would stand to support Rebbe Lazar. Lo, lina simurim. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about the meat, we're talking about the imurim. Again, the parts of the animal that go up onto the mizbech. Yeah, but if you go to the next part of the brisa says meila extends to what point in time? Until until the animal is burnt. Meaning, once the animal is burnt, not subject to meila anymore. So the Gemara says, once you see the second half of the brisa is talking about the meat. First half is also talking about the meat. My ear basar. So the Gemara says, no, the first part of the Brisa is talking about the imorim, second part is talking about meat, not the same. Mosif Rabba. Again, we are trying to find either to corroborate or to attack Rebbe Lazar. Again, Rebbe Lazar says like this. If it's a part of the animal that's not normally consumed, like the fetus, like the crop of a bird, like the meat of Parim HaNisrafim, right? Three examples that he gave. If you have a machshava about those meats, it's not pigol. If you have a machshava about other parts of the animal that are normally consumed, these parts come along for the ride.
Was that true with all that mentioned in the Mishnah, or are we trying to...
Oh, we'll see. Oh, good. Because... what's going to end up happening is that the Mishnah is going to be used to support Rebbe Lazar. Mm-hmm. The Ilshe Mefaglim Ein Mefaglim. Okay? Here we have a Brisa. Brisa says, here's a list of things which are not Mefagel, which don't trigger Pigel, the Ein Mefaglim, and they're not subject to coming along for the ride. Meaning that if the other parts of the animal are rendered Pigel, these parts are not rendered Pigel for a very simple reason. They're not edible. And they are the hair on the head of a sheep, the beard on the goat, you know, the billy goat's beard, the ha'or, the ha'rote, the akipa, the hide, the sauce, the sediment, ha'ala, the hamura, the ha'tsamos, the ha'ginim, the ha'karnaim, the ha'talafim, bones, sinews, horns, hooves, the ha'shlil, and the fetus, the ha'shilya, and the afterbirth, the chalav hamukdashim, milk, ubeitz eterim, and eggs, kulam lo mefaglim velo mespaglin. So, Brisa says it very clearly. It doesn't trigger pigle, and it doesn't come along for the ride. The ein chayav min lemishim pigle nosa v'tamei, and, while we're at it, not subject to the prohibitions of pigle nosa v'tamei, like we learned in our Mishnah, they're not meat, therefore not subject to these surim in the Torah, and if you bring it outside the Beit HaMikdash or for any of these parts, you didn't violate Shchut Echutz. Shchut Echutz has two components to it. You're not allowed to shech the carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to offer a carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash. If you offer any of these parts, these are not meat. So therefore, they're not subject to Ma'ale B'chutz. So my love, lo mefaglin hazevach, now, after having introduced the Braisa, the Gemara says like this. Are we not talking about my love lo mifaglin hazevach velo mispaglin machmazevach? Doesn't it sound like it's saying that it doesn't affect pigel and it doesn't come along for the ride as well? So what the Braisa sounds like it's saying. If that's true, we just dismissed Rav Elazar. Totally. So the Gemara says, "Lo mifaglin as a zevach, v'lo mispaglin machmas atzman." So the Gemara says, "No, don't say that. It means like this: it won't trigger pigle, and it itself is v'lo mispaglin atzman. It itself doesn't trigger itself. It doesn't trigger the rest of the animal, and it doesn't even trigger itself. That's what we're going to say. Pshat is in the Braisa in order to support and defend Rav Elazar." Because Rav Elazar says that if you affect pigle on the rest of the animal, on the normal consumed parts of the animal, these parts come along for the ride. Yeah, but the Braisa signs off with a lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. Why did the Braisa sign off like that? It sounds like if you read the Braisa and read it again, the Braisa is making a summary statement that really is much more all-encompassing. Meaning these parts of the animal, these non-edible parts of the animal, no pigle, period. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, look, I understand that, but the Gemara says other things which also don't come along for the ride. Meaning, the Braisa ends off by saying, Ein chayav lamishum pigle. Why did the Braisa end off like that? It's only because the Braisa wanted to talk about Tamei Nosar. Therefore, talked about Pigel. It didn't need to. It already made the point. Hachanami, I did the Baile Misnei Hamala, Man Bechutz, Tananami, V'kulam Mefaglin, V'lam Mespaglin. The Braisa wanted to make the point of, well, if I offer them outside, I'm not subject to Shchut Echutz, or Ma'ale Bechutz. So then the Braisa also repeated its point about Pigel and Mespaglin. Finally, okay, so where we are right now, we're almost done with this sugya. Where we are right now, we have not supported Rabbi Eliezer. We have not rejected Rabbi Eliezer. We're still in limbo. Rabbi Elazar made his chiddush, and the Gemara now is finally going to support him. Rav Amar Afanami Tanina. Look, if you go back to our Mishnah and you read our Mishnah carefully, you will see our Mishnah really is supportive of Rabbi Elazar. Why? Hashochet is mukdash l'echol shlul oshalya b'chutz l'pigol. Our Mishnah says that if you shecht a carbon in order to eat the fetus or the afterbirth, b'chutz, outside, let's just, like I did back in the Mishnah, let's just replace outside with chutz z'mano. Okay? I know that's Let's just do that. Chutz Zmano, you have not affected Pigel. Fine. Okay? Which we know already. In other words, basically the point is that the fetus in the afterbirth will not trigger Pigel. Everybody agrees to that. V'hamolek esatorm l'achol beitzeim v'chutz, lo Pigel. And the Mishnah also says that if you do malik on the bird in order to eat the eggs outside, or chutz Zmano, you also have an affected Pigel. So far, so good. Everybody, these are very, very straightforward statements. Everybody agrees to. The Hadar Tani, but then the Gemara says, but look, go to the next part of the Mishnah. It says, and look at the list carefully. Eggs, milk are not subject to pigle. Eggs and milk are not subject to pigle. Shouldn't we also have included fetus, afterbirth? Right, they should also have been included in that short list. In other words, if all you do is just read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see that the Mishnah is essentially saying it. It's not saying it. You've got to read a little bit in between the lines. That when it comes to the fetus and the afterbirth, it is subject to pigle. So the Gemara says, wait a second, I'm confused. In the first part of the Mishnah, it says that the fetus and the afterbirth is not trigger pigle. And then the Mishnah, not exactly saying it, but if you read between the lines, it basically says fetus and afterbirth is subject to pigle. Ela lav shma mina, kan machmas hazevach, kan machmas atzman. So the Gemara is going to say, how do you understand that Mishnah using Rabbi Elazar? It makes a lot of sense. If I'm thinking only about the fetus is not significant. It's not going to trigger pigle. If I think about the main part of the animal, fetus comes along for the ride. Because although it's not significant in of itself to create pigle, certainly significant enough where if the rest of the animal is pigle, the fetus is pigle as well. That's how you're going to understand the Mishnah. Good. So in other words, with a very careful reading of the Mishnah, it's a nice diuk in the Mishnah. A careful reading of the Mishnah, you see that Rav Elazar's position is supported. Okay? So Lamaskana, the Gemara, does support Rav Elazar. And again, let's say over the Chiddush again of Rav Elazar, just to make sure that we got it. When it comes to the parts of the animal that are not normally eaten, like the fetus of the animal, like the crop of a bird, they're not significant enough where they can trigger pigle, right? So they're not mifagel, but they are significant enough, they're considered part enough of the animal where they're mispagel. Meaning if the rest of the animal is rendered pigle, if I consider about eating the other parts of the animal, the quote-unquote main parts of the animal, chutz zmano, the fetus and the afterbirth will come along for the ride, and they will be subject to pigle as well. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara supports the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar.
Couldn't that be that's where
he's yeah, 100%. Meaning, he doesn't source it, he doesn't quote a pasuk. Correct, absolutely correct. Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah. Bale Momim. Rabbi Akiva Machshir. I'm sorry. Tanan Hasam. Bale Momim, Rabbi Akiva Machshir, Bale Momim. Once again, we get to the later parts of our Masechta. We're going to learn about how the Mizbeach, there are a lot of rules and regulations, what can go up onto the Mizbeach. And we know that if an animal becomes disqualified, it cannot go on the Mizbeach. However, we will spend an entire parak of Zvachim learning that the Mizbeach can stomach a lot. Pun intended. Right? There are certain things which really you shouldn't have put up onto the Mizbeach, but once it's up there, the Mizbeach essentially says, I can handle it. And it will stomach certain things. And there is a machlokus later on as to what degree is it disqualified where the Mizbeach, even the Mizbeach can't handle it. Where you, the Kohen, have to go up onto the Mizbeach and actually take it back down again. Tanan Hasam Bale Momin. Let's say you have an animal which is blemished. Okay? It has a physical blemish, which we know already is totally disqualified. Meaning, cannot be offered as a carbon. And again, the Kohen acted inappropriately and properly, shechted the carbon, offered the parts of the carbon onto the Mizbeach, Rabbi Akiva Machshir Bebale Momen. So Rabbi Akiva says that's okay.
So the Kohen gets confirmed for that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So So what's
the significance is
it could be eaten.
The mizbeach can eat it. Can you eat it?
Oh,
I don't know. Somebody, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Unsure. What does it accomplish?
Nothing. In other words, it's just the idea. It's just the idea that the mizbeach, it's close enough to a carbon where the mizbeach basically say, okay, I can handle it, and you don't have to take it down.
Is there any significance to it? Or the mizbeach doesn't get. What is the significance?
I'm not sure.
Either you take it out or put it back in.
The significance is that it was very close to being a legitimate carbon. That's the significance. I understand. I'm not giving you a halachic. I'm not giving you anything tangible to walk away with. Rabbi Kiva Machshir Bebali Mamim. I'm Rabbi Chaya Bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Loichshir. Rabbi Kiva Lo Bedugin Shabayin. Holik Shem Baofos. Even this Chiddush Rabbi Akiva, we're going to minimize it. It cannot be a significant mum. Can't be talking about a significant blemish. It's got to be one of the more minor blemishes. How do you understand that? What's a minor blemish? So the Gemara gives an example. The Gemara always gives this example of Dukin Sheba Ayin, cataract in the eye. I know, right? So many of us suffer from this ailment, but it's a physical blemish when the animal has a cataract in the eye and it cannot be offered as a carbon. This is quote unquote a minor blemish. Now, what do I mean, minor blemish? Either it is a blemish or it isn't a physical blemish. If the animal has Dukin Shabayin, I can't offer it as a carbon, right? It's called a minor blemish because in the world of birds, we disregard it. Meaning, if a bird had a cataract in its eye, we'd offer the bird up onto the mizbeach. The latitude that we have for a physical blemish by a bird is much greater. By birds, the only thing that will disqualify from the mizbeach is if it's missing a limb. That's it. Mechusar aver. It has to be missing a limb. That is the disqualification by a bird. Animals, huh?
Not a broken limb?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, not sure. But it has to be. I mean, the Gemara always uses the term mechusar aver. It has to be missing a limb. Either way, the cataracts in the eye. So it's we're gonna call it a lighter blemish, a lighter physical blemish. So that's number one. And so that's one limitation of Rabbi Akiva. It's got to be one of the quote unquote lighter blemishes. Two, v'hu shekadam hekdesha es muma. Also, in order for the mizbeach to be able to stomach it, it had to first become a carbon, meaning it first had to be consecrated as a carbon, and then develop a blemish. If it developed a blemish before it was even consecrated as a carbon, then even Rabbi Kiva would say, no, don't keep it up there on the mizbeach. Take it down from the mizbeach. Okay.
So the thing is, what you're saying is basically, this is not b'diavad, this is a hakila, because the guy kind of has to know the timeline and has to recognize that this thing is...
It's still
bring it.
It's still b'diavad, meaning...
Why?
No, Rabbi Kiva.
The guy knows when the injury took place?
Correct. And I would
he's
tell
still
you...
bringing it, though. That's why
because he shouldn't. B'diavad means if it's done, he shouldn't. In other words, we're talking about a blemished animal. Blemished animals shouldn't go up on the mizbeach. But again, the mizbeach can handle certain things if it's done. It's all after the fact. It's all after it's all if it's done. Okay, let's just you can argue with me. That's fine. But
so if he does it, I'll put it on the mizbeach. There's a head for him. There's a malchut or something. Like...
I'm not sure.
That points to the significance of the fact.
Correct. Correct. We're just going to focus on right. Our main focus is can it keep it up there or do you have to bring it down? That's really the main focus. Umod Rabbi Akiva, but olas nekeva to command the kadam mumalek deishadami. So Rabbi Akiva will agree that olas nekeva, a female that was set aside as a carbon ola. You understand that a female set aside as a carbon ola. No good. Ola only comes from male animals. Okay, only a male animal could be an ola. Do you remember that by Yitzchak? Yitzchak was a male, and you know, and he was going to be offered as a carbon ola. Okay, you didn't like that. I understand. I'm saying. Okay. Okay, there goes all my credibility. Umod Rabbi Akiva ba'olas nekeva. The command to kadamumalek deshadami. Okay, good. So now, We're going to make an obvious. We're going to, it's going to seem to be a very obvious statement that if we're talking about a female animal, a female ola, I should say, that falls under the category of where the blemish came before it becoming a carbon. Correct, because it can't be a carbon ola. If I sanctified as a carbon ola, its blemish is there, meaning it's a female. Not allowed to do that. So okay, so Masiv Rebbe Zera. Okay, now, why are we here, right? I don't mean that existentially. I mean, why is the Gemara turning to this discussion of a Baal Mom being offered up on the Mizbech? Now's not the time for that. This is the third parak of Zvachim. We're talking about Pigel. We want to focus on Pigel. We're going to get back to the Mishnah in just five lines from now that's going to talk about Pigel. So what are we doing here about an ola, which is a female that's brought up onto the Mizbeach, and Rabbi Akiva says, take it down? What are we doing here? Okay. So because it has to do with our Mishnah. Mesiv Reb Zera, Hamala Mehen Bachutz Pater. Okay, because what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that if you take a fetus and you offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to be chayef. Meaning this is not Shchut Echutz. Okay, Ha-mi'iman chayev, which means, again, what we're doing now is we're reading the Mishnah super carefully, and we're going to make a diuk from the Mishnah. Now think about it, it's a fantastic diuk. The fetus that's offered outside, you're not going to be chayev for shchut echutz. How about mom? Again, a critical reading of the Mishnah would indicate that if you offer the mother outside, you would be chayev on shchut echutz. Now, v'heichi mishkachala. Now, mom is what? Mom is a carbon ola. Now, how did we know?
We just said it can be good.
Now, how did we know that? How do we know that mom's a carbon ola? Mom couldn't be a shlamim. Mom couldn't be a toda. How do we know that mom's a carbon ola? Because and think of the logic. It's a little bit bumpy, but it makes sense. We know that mom's an ola because in order to be violating shchut echutz, that means it's something that I would have offered. I should have offered inside in the Beis HaMikdash, and I decided, no, I'm offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now it has to be an ola, meaning we're talking now about the meat of the animal. The meat of the animal, I should have offered it up on the Mizbeach. What kind of carbon is that? That's an ola. It's only an ola. If it's a shlamim, I'm not taking the meat. I'm not offering the meat on the Mizbeach. I'm eating the meat.
Some of the meat, though, no?
Diaphragm.
Right.
Kidneys.
So what doesn't count?
Okay, so essentially the Gemara is going to basically say what you're saying.
No.
Okay, but I'm just, you know, I'm taking us through the Gemara.
Mom could be a chatas too, can't she?
Huh?
Mom could be a chatas also.
Mom could be a chatas.
Because the meat's eating.
And the meat, right. Right, you're right. Mom, wait a second. Mom could be a chatas. No, but that's not where we want to be. In other words, we want to be...
Right, I understand.
Right.
We want mom to be
an ola. Because we want to... Correct. Mishkachala be'olos nekeva. Iyamar b'shlama kesav Rabbi Akiva olos nekeva imalta lo teireid hamani Rabbi Akiva. So look. So... If you want to tell me that Rabbi Akiva says that even if mom's an ola, it goes up and don't bring it down, meaning it is eligible to be brought up onto the Mizbeach, albeit bidyeved. So at least I know how to understand our Mishnah over here. Eliyah, Marti, Malta, Teirid, Hamani. So the Gemara says, but if Rabbi Akiva says that an ola's nekeva has no place, has no right whatsoever to be offered up on the Mizbeach, so then taking its meat and offering outside the Beis HaMikdash is not a liability. It's not, I didn't violate the Torah's prohibition of offering outside. So, Ema Hamala Mei Mechutz Pater Hami Imura Iman Chayim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, all we're going to do now is just take a step back, go back to the our Mishnah, and let's modify the critical reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you offer the fetus outside, you're not in violation. If you offer the imurim of the mother outside, you are in violation. Oh, perfect. Right? That's good. V'hamehen ketani, v'iman dum yedidu. The Gemara says, perfect, but Look, it's a little bit strange. When we're talking about fetus, we're talking about meat. That's flesh. When we're talking about mom, we're talking about the imurim. So the Gemara says, "Haleima hamale miimurim bechutz pater hami imuri iman chayev." Okay, so we'll play around a little bit. We'll adjust a little bit the wording of the Mishnah. I'm not sure if he's actually making a real change in the Nusach HaMishnah. Maybe. But still, the basic point is, fine. When we're talking about the fetus, we're talking about the Imurim of the fetus. That you're not going to be liable for. The Imurim of the mother, that you are going to be liable for. Okay. That was totally a tangent, only because of a diuk that we made in our Mishnah. Okay, one more time, one more Mishnah, pigle. Shechto. Al menas la'aniach es damo, o imurav lamachar. I shecht the karban, and here's my thought. My thought is, and I articulate, I express it. Remember, we're going to always assume that there's some sort of expression, articulation of the thought, so we know what he's thinking. I'm leaving the blood over till tomorrow. Now, you're not allowed to. You can't leave the blood over for tomorrow. He says, I will. Oh, lahutzian lachutz, to take the blood outside. Rav Yehuda posts, Rav Yehuda says, you've disqualified the karban, and the chachamim machshirim, and the chachamim say, no, the karban is not possible, the karban is not disqualified.
Chutz,
it's not, because remember, okay, this is important, the chutzim kum and the chutzim manu has to be going on parts of the animal that are consumed. The blood, if he says, I'm going to do zrika outside, zrika's consumption.
Right.
All he's saying is, I'm going to leave the blood.
So the blood that's going to be spilled someplace later.
He doesn't say spilled. He just says, I'm going to leave it. Okay? So this is lahaniach. So Rav Yehuda says, no good. And the Chachamim said, no, that's good. Because it's not, I mean, it's not, when we say it's good, you shouldn't be thinking those thoughts. Right? That's not what needs to be done with the blood. But pigle, and the Mishnah is going to say this very clearly, pigle is extraordinarily limited. This whole idea of me having a bad machshava and disqualifying the animal because I have a bad machshava is super limited. It's limited to chutzis mano, eating the karban outside the prescribed time, chutzim kamo, offering the karban outside the right place, or shelo lishma by Pesach and Chatas. And that's it. That is your short list of thoughts that will disqualify the karban. Rav Yehuda wants to add to that the list of lahaniach. Good, that's Rav Yehuda's opinion. The chachamim disagree. If you put it on the ramp, or shalok kenegedi yisod, or not opposite the foundation, or to sprinkle the blood on the wrong place, on the wrong mizbeach, shiyochlu tameim sheakrivu tameim, that tummy people should eat the karban, that tummy people should offer the karban, shiyochlu areilim, that non-circumcised people should eat the karban, v'shakruvu areilim, where non-circumcised people should offer the karban, l'shaber atzamas haPesach. Or how about this? You know what I'm going to do? I'm offering my karban Pesach. I'm going to break the bones. Right? Sounds like okay. You're not scaring me. What do you mean break the bones? When it comes to Karban Pesach, one of the prohibitions of the Karban Pesach is that you're not allowed to break the bones. Shviras etzem by the Karban Pesach is prohibited. Lechol heimenuna. Right? It took me a while to figure this mission out. But the Pasuk says, Na means partially cooked. You're not allowed to partially cook the Karban Pesach. Ula arev dama v'dama psulim, or you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mix the blood with other bloods. And not just other bloods, but other dam psulim, kosher. So even though the Mishnah gave us a laundry list of things that you shouldn't be thinking about when shechting your karban, right? All no-nos, but none of these thoughts will disqualify.
Since kosher. Since there's no action, you always rectify it, right?
So. And she'ein machsheves poselas, Ella, and here it is, your list of things which are posel. Ella, b'chutzos manu chutzim kama b'apesef echata shalol eshman, period. Three machshavas that will disqualify karban. Either consumption chutzos manu, consumption chutzim kama, or shalol eshman by Pesach and Chatas. And that's it. Okay. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So, although we are rejecting Rabbi Yehuda la halacha, but he is a Tana. His opinion is that if my thought is lahaniach es adam, to leave the blood, that disqualifies the animal. So what's the svara behind, I spoke too early. What's the reason? Svara is going to become an important part of the sugya. But right now, let's say, my time, what's the reason behind Rav Yehuda? So Amar Rav Elazar Trei Krai Ksivi. So the Gemara says it's based on psukim. Okay, this is the first attempt at ascertaining what the reason is behind Rav Yehuda. B'noster kasav echad omer lo sasir mimenu ad boker. We have two psukim by Noster. One is in Parshas Bo. When the Torah tells us our first carbon Pesach, the Torah says, don't leave it until morning. And if you do, it's no sir. It's leftover carbon. And in Parshat Tzav, same story. Torah says, don't leave it until morning.
But what's the difference between Yaniach and Noter?
So, the Gemara says, I'm not happy with the repetition. And, so look, I already know I'm not allowed to leave it until the morning. So what am I going to do with the second pasuk in Parshat Tzav? So I'll use it for another halacha. Similar halacha. Leaving a carbon over disqualifies it. Thinking about leaving it over disqualifies it. This is the first attempt of ascertaining what is behind Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, I call Achuda, so I'm going to tell you. The Gemara says, wait a second. Right? That, you can't do that. That second pasuk in Tzav is already dedicated. It's already used. The carbon toad is eaten for one day and one night. Even though the carbon toad is a shlamim, you're only given one day and one night. That's not normal. Shlamim is 2 days. Day, night, and the next day. That's regular eating time allotment for shlamim. Carbon toda, one day, one night, that's it. Chalip and vlados, tamuros, minayin. What if I exchange? What if I have a child of the toda? Tamura of the toda, in exchange for the toda. Tamalamar uvasar. The pasuk goes on to say ubasar. Next, chatas vasha minayin. How do I know chatas and asham also? I'm not allowed to leave it over. Tamalomer zevach uminayin l'rabba shlame nazir shlame pesach. How about the shlame brought by the nazir, the shlame brought by the pesach, also limited in time? Tamalomer shlamav lach metoda. And by the way, shlame pesach, Rashi says the carbon chagiga that's born the 14th day of Pesach. Tamalomer shlamav lach metoda v'chalos urikikim shem nazir minayin. How about all the loaves of bread? 40 loaves of bread are brought by the Nazir. Tamar Lamar Kabano. Kulan. Sorry, no, I'm sorry. 40 loaves of bread are brought by the Toda. Sorry. All right. And Nazir also brings, but not that many. Minayin Tamar Lamar Kabano. Kulan Koreani Behem Lo Yaniach. In all these different types of carbonos, we have the rule of Lo Yaniach. Okay. So, Gemara is just bothered by a technical problem. How can you use a Pasuk in Tzav to tell me a new halacha when I already needed to tell me this halacha that Noser applies to all these various karbanos? Im kem lemakra lo sosiro. My lo yaniach, imenu inyan laniach, teneu in lamach shavet inuach. So the Gemara says, what triggers the second drasha is the choice of words. The Torah in Parshat Tzav could have said lo sosiro, just like it said in Parshat Bo. The fact that it switches to lo lahaniach tells me a new halacha that I'm not allowed to think about leaving it over. This is all according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, first of all, no. Meaning, remember, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda had two halachas. One halacha was to leave it, and the second halacha was to take it outside. So far, all you did was tell me the first halacha. We have a pasuk that teaches me the first halacha. How about the second halacha of taking it outside? And also, quite honestly, you got it all wrong. Rav Yehuda is not based on psukim. Rav Yehuda is based on svara, d'tanya. And I know that because we have a braisa that says it straight out. Amar lehem Rav Yehuda. And here in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda has a discourse with the Chachamim. Look, you know that if you leave it over to the next day, it becomes disqualified. If you think about leaving it over for the next day, it becomes disqualified. That's the argument, the svara. How often do I get to quote my father here in the Daf Yomi? My father says brilliantly, he says, you're about to make two mistakes. One is to do what about you're about to do, and your second mistake is to think about doing what you're about to do. Right? That's exactly what Rav Yehuda is saying. Rav Yehuda is saying that it's basically the same thing. Right? Don't do it, in this case, don't leave it over, and don't think about leaving it over. And Rav Yehuda feels that thinking about it is tantamount to doing it. Good. That's the svar behind Rav Yehuda. El time of Rav Yehuda svaruhu v'niflag nami Rav Yehuda b'kulu. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the argument of Rav Yehuda, so we only have two examples of Rav Yehuda. One, no sir. Two, yotzei. Shouldn't Rav Yehuda argue about other cases in the Mishnah? Meaning, if what you do disqualifies the karban, then thinking about doing it also should disqualify the karban. So, stick with me. We're going to go take a quick ride through the Mishnah and see which other case should Rabbi Yehuda disagree with. Bahai niflo, b'shover atzamas pesach v'lechol mimenuna, zivcha gufe mimifzal. It's not breaking the bones of the karban pesach, nor is it undercooking the karban pesach, because that doesn't disqualify the carbon, meaning the carbon's brought. It's not about having tummy people eat the carbon because the carbon's already been brought, meaning it does not affect the essential atonement of the carbon. Non-circumcised people eating the carbon, again, they shouldn't, but it doesn't invalidate the carbon. Lishna achrina kol kamine. Or the Gemara says, if you want to say it a little bit differently, what is he going to do? He's going to force a non-circumcised person to eat the carbon pesach. Come on. So and la'arev dam bidam hapsulim. What about the next case in the Mishnah? Mixing. I'm going to mix blood with other bloods. Rav Yehuda says, so what? And you do. Rav Yehuda l'tam edam rein dam evatol dam. We know Rav Yehuda's position. We've seen it already a number of times throughout our Masechta. Blood doesn't nullify blood. So Rav Yehuda says, and if you do, so what? What are you thinking about? I'm going to take the blood and put it on the lower half of the Mizbeach. And so what? Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, we saw this earlier as well, that Rav Yehuda says any part of the Mizbeach counts. So, what about taking the blood and sprinkling on the inner Mizbeach? Again, so what? So the Gemara says, oh, yeah, because Rav Yehuda says that in order for it to be a Zrika, you got to hit a Mizbeach that takes all three. Blood, meat, and Imurim. That's the outer Mizbeach. It's not the inner Mizbeach. Omi Isra l'Rav Yehuda ha'isvara? Yet Rav Yehuda really holds of that? V'atanya Rav Yehuda omer davara. Riba kan chata sheshachta bedam v'chata shenichnas dam alifnim. Psula. Alifnim psula. Rav Yehuda says that if you sprinkle the blood inside, it becomes disqualified. We also have another statement of Rav Yehuda that says that if the blood happens to go inside by accident, it's not a big deal. So the Gemara says, look, if you bring blood inside, it doesn't disqualify the animal. If you think about bringing blood inside, it certainly won't disqualify the animal. Trei Tanai va'aliba de Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says two Tanaim according to Rav Yehuda, meaning on this point about bringing blood inside the Heichal, disqualifying the carbon when you sprinkle onto the inner Mizbeach, we don't have a clear picture of what Rav Yehuda says. Again now, our Mishnah tells us, just quickly recap, the Mishnah tells us that according to Rav Yehuda, if you think about doing something which will normally disqualify a carbon, it disqualifies a carbon. The Gemara says it's really hinged, it's hinged on a svara, on an argument. If you do it, it disqualifies a carbon. If you think about doing it, it will disqualify the carbon as well. Okay? And then we went through the Mishnah trying to see what other cases would disqualify the Mishnah as well. Good. That takes us through the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Tomorrow, God willing, we get a chance to finish the perek and start the fourth perek of Zvachim. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Marzik Hashem Baruch Hu Zaki Sol. Ficha Chir Bem Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anai Chafetz Amantzi Ko Yagdil Terav Yadir.